cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man.
I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we're back for another episode of The Snake Pit. And of course, you know this man I'm joined by. That is none other than the Hall of Famer himself, the master of the DDT, Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, wonderful, man. Got a buzz going on. Let's do it.
All right. Well, that's we're ready then. I told your daughter before we started recording, I'm buzzing on coffee, so we'll see if I can keep up with you. Well, look, before we get into it, I wanted to give a shout out to Hal Haney, wrestling artist. He created this incredible, if you're watching us on YouTube, this incredible comic book art of Jake scuffling with Muhammad Ali. It's based, of course, on, what happened in Mid-South in 1985, which is what we're talking about today. But also, it's based on an episode of the podcast that we did. So go back into our archives and have a look. But yeah, that 8x10 or 11x17 should be appearing on Jake's gimmick tables in the future. So get yours signed sometime in the near future by the man himself. And Jake, I also wanted to mention before we launch into it, an awesome response to you watching Wrestle Crap last week. Holy shit, the fans loved it. We've definitely got to do that one again.
Okay, man.
I think I might catch a buzz before we do that one myself. But this week, I mentioned it, we're looking back to Mid-South Wrestling in 1985, and there is a lot to discuss because we're covering both October and November from that year. Huge shift in your character, high-profile matches, and one of your biggest rivalries in while you were in that territory. So if you're ready, we'll launch in. October gets off to a hot start in Mid-South, and we're just midway through the month. Butch Reed will win the North American Championship from Dick Murdoch in New Orleans. After the match, all the baby faces are celebrating, and that even includes you, who just 1 month earlier was this vicious heel. So we're starting fast this week. Jake, let's do our first clip.
Drink it all. It's okay with me, baby. All right, brother.
Hacksaw Butch Reed's the new North American champion. Butch, how's it feel?
Well, I feel wet right now, Ross. But I'm hurting. I'm hurting. You know, Jake Murdoch's one hell of a champion. He's one hell of a professional athlete. He's just like a shark after blood out there. He was on my knee. I'm sitting here. My knee is swelling up on me now. And I know one thing about me being a North American champion, that it's only just begun. And I know that Murdoch is coming back. And when you come back, Dick, the same way you gave me the shot after shot at this thing right here, I'm going to be man enough and honor you with the shot too. And it's still going to be a fight. And I'm still going to do all I can to hold on to this belt because one thing's in my mind, Ric Flair's next. North American title, NWA title is next. I'm looking to make history, brother. I'm looking to be the first black champion in the world. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, what do you think of this man, the new North?
I watched that match, Jim Ross, and it was a classic match because I know Dick Murdoch. I know he's a man of integrity. I know he's a tough nut to crack. I know Hacksaw Butch Reed also is a tough guy, and I saw one great battle. My hat's off to Butch Reed, but I just want you and Dickie Murdoch not to forget one thing. That's Hacksaw Jim Duggan, like champagne too, along with him North American Heavyweight Championship belt.
All right, Jake, your thoughts on this?
What else can you say? I mean, the people seen the thing. I mean, we were back there watching and pulling. You know, we all have our favorites deep down inside. But one thing about this I can understand. It was a great contest, and anytime you put two men head-to-head and let them go, brother, I'm going to be there to see it. And Butch, man, I know you're hurting right now, but your heart's got to feel good, brother, because that's that first step for Flair. First step for Flair, man. He's going with it. I think he's got it, baby. You got it.
All right, so, Jake, Butch Reed, that poor bastard, you poured the champagne on his head, and it got his eyes.
Blinded him, man. He was blinded by the light.
He's trying to cut this baby face promo. He's like fucking rubbing his eyes. Like,
oh, he's dying, man.
He called him like Jake Murdoch at one point. He was all fucked up, man.
What a great athlete.
Yes, hell of an athlete. And we're going to talk about him. Before we do, though, I was really interested in that promo of yours because I think that is your first promo as a babyface in Mid-South. Watching it back all these years later, what did you think?
I thought that was good.
I thought you did a good job. I guess what really stuck out for me was that it's just not the same Jake that we'd been seeing even like a month prior.
No.
But I mean, celebrating another wrestler's title victory, I don't know, it just kind of puts you in a weird spot.
Yeah, it does. See, that's what I wanted it to be. It's feel weird.
Okay.
What the fuck's Jake doing there?
That was it.
Jake don't give a fuck.
That's where's what I Jake? Thought.
He's fucking gone, man.
You were supposed to be like this lone wolf type character, and you're like, hey, all right, he won a title. Would you say it's difficult to switch gears so quickly from heel to babyface like this?
It is. It's real hard, man. And the biggest thing is you need to know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you're going to be doing in the future. Because if you come out there and you kind of promo that you're going to be this badass, blah, 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 with no direction, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucked, man. You got to know where you're going so you can, you know, plan that next step and let it make sense. You know, you can't just come off and just do some silly clown shit because it doesn't matter.
So now,
you got to know where you're going.
We always hear that Vince McMahon is great at planning stuff out. As you know, they say as far out as 6 months at times. WCW is a whole different story. It was like week to week based on what I've heard. How was it here under Bill Watts?
Oh, he knew where he was going.
Okay.
He'd be several months out.
Okay. So at this point, you know exactly what direction you're moving in. So you're able to kind of cut this promo with the knowledge of what's to come.
Yeah. He's just hard. It's hard to get it out of him, though, you know?
Oh, okay. He was playing it close to the
vest. Yeah, he's kayfabing me. I don't have to shit.
And I think by this time, you're helping him with booking a little bit. Yeah, so it's like,
exactly.
God almighty.
He's still kayfabing me.
Who the fuck can you trust then, Bill? I guess nobody. I think I already know the answer to this one, Jake. When you go from heel to baby face, does the money change?
Sometimes.
Really? I thought you were gonna say no. Yeah. Fuck no, it didn't change. Yeah,
sometimes.
Do you recall if you were making more then in Mid-South?
I made more as a heel.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Because you were working on top and getting in with Ali and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, you mentioned Butch Reed, what a great athlete he was. And now he's a babyface and the North American champion here. Pretty obvious that Watts was trying to recapture some of that old JYD magic. And JR has been open on his podcast about how Watts specifically wanted to find his next big African-American star. Did you see Reed as being a guy who could carry that banner for Mid-South?
It pains me to say this, but no, he couldn't do it, man. Mm. You know, there was only one JYD, bro. And if you'd put an honest search out there, you'd still be searching.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was only one of those.
Now, do you think it was something that Reed was lacking, or do you think it's just JYD's charisma was just something?
His charisma was just too way over the top and too strong.
What about Reed's ring work? I know you were in there with him a lot. Better than Dog?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Dog just kind of had his shtick where Reed could actually go a little bit, right?
Yeah.
If you had been given the opportunity to book Reed, would you have preferred to see him as a babyface or a heel here in Mid-South?
I love him as a heel, man.
Right?
Yeah.
What is it about him that you think makes him a great heel?
He's just so damn strong and he can back it up. You know, he can go out there and go if he wanted to. I never saw a need to do that.
I don't blame. Well, and you were there when he fought Barbarian, so you're probably like,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been in a ring with Butch.
Nobody to piss with, that's for sure.
No, he's a good guy, man.
Well, Jake, as we roll through October, you're scheduled for a fight with Dirty Dutch Mantel, but ahead of the match, you deliver a pretty interesting promo with good old JR holding the mic. Let's drop in on that one.
Well, if you just hold on just a second, and if I can get Dutch Mantel to cool his heels just for a minute, I got something I got to say, man. Thank you. What I want to ask you, Jim Ross, is to stand here because I want you to know this, man. I know Mid-South has been getting a lot of letters talking about that mask Humongous is wearing. Well, I tell you something about Mid-South. Mid-South is not the one standing in the ring fighting the man. I am. Now, I know that you guys are moving as fast as you can on taking the mask off because everybody knows that ain't right. Right? Okay. But you're not moving fast enough for me. That's the problem. Now, I know you're doing everything you can. Like I said, I know the lawyers are playing the games. I know they're doing the things that Humperdinck has to do to try to hold this thing back. Okay, that's good enough for me. Fight fire with fire the ways I've always lived. I've got something for you, Humongous. I've got something that's going to hurt you bad. It's going to make us even up when we step into the ring. Because I can fight any man as long as he stands in this ring and faces me and ain't got nothing to slap on his head and pound somebody's face in, because I am the man with the DDT.
Nice promo, brother. That was good stuff.
Oh, my God.
Well, you've got a secret weapon, which is going to be revealed here pretty soon. And, you know, Jake, after being a big, nasty, vicious, antagonistic heel, now you're in a new spot, kind of fighting from underneath against Humperdinck and his crew.
Yeah. Strong baby face. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you feel about being a, like an underdog finally here in Mid-South?
It was all right. It was fun to do, you know. Of course, the money being better would be, he's always better.
For sure.
But, yeah, I had fun working with Humperdinck, man. Humpy was special. We had a lot of history, did a lot of crazy things when we were younger, you know, doing cocaine on the beach and watching the sun go down. I believe that was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Me and him and Gary Hart.
Okay.
The three of us laying in the water is a as waves went out when we were there. Hoo-ha! Need I say any more?
That sounds like a blast. And you know,
oh, it was. The beer was flowing, so was the powder.
Good times, yeah. Man. Carefree. And, you know, it's actually, this kind of brings me to a fan question. I was going to save it for the end, but you brought up Humperdinck. So we might as well talk about it now. Our old pal Peter D wrote in and he asked this. Now, look, I've never heard about any of this before, so this will be fresh for me. Peter says, it's reported that Sir Oliver Humperdinck was gay. Was it general knowledge at the time, and did it cause any issues for him? So, Jake, obviously things have changed for the better in society over the years, but this was a different day and age. What do you recall about this?
I don't think he was gay.
Oh, no?
I think he was trisexual.
Okay.
He'd try anything.
Yeah, well, that works. That's a good answer. Trisexual.
Well, I just want to say I don't know. And the second thing I want to say, more importantly, is I mean, I don't give a fuck.
Right. What does it matter?
You know, if you can't look beyond people's outer shell, then you're not having fun anyway. You're not enjoying people.
Right. I know that those, you know, back in those days, I mean, nowadays it's, I mean, who cares? But back in those days, it was certainly not commonplace, especially like in locker rooms and a bunch of homophobic dudes. So, yeah, that's why that question stuck out. I was like, man, I feel like it would be rough being in Bill Watts territory as a homosexual man.
He always had girls chasing him.
All right. So he did okay.
Yeah.
We mentioned during our last episode that you were moving on to Humongous and Barb was now going to be cleared up to work with Butch Reed, who he had challenged for the TV title right before the two of you split. However, after September, Nord is done with Mid-South and he would never return to the territory. Jake, do you have any memory of why John would leave?
I think he forgot to show up. You know, I can honestly say I don't remember. I truly don't. And nor would tell you. He'd tell you in a heartbeat what happened, but I just don't know. My memory is not that good.
Well, I mean, I'm asking you to reach back whatever it is here, 38 years. So it's a tall ask. But I was actually
sorry, it's not on the tip of my tongue.
I'm sure you haven't been ruminating on it for 38 years. I did just get in touch with John Norden. He agreed to do a fill-in episode at some point here on the Snake Pit. So I'll have to ask him that question once we get him on here. But
good thing.
But I mean, you had mentioned before that he was struggling with alcohol. So I mean, I have to think that had, because he was red hot here himself as a heel, and then he's just gone. There's got to be something going on there, right?
Yeah, it was alcohol and home.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I do think it's of note here that during your match with Mantel, Watts would accuse Roddy Piper of trying to use the DDT, but he would say that nobody could use it to the same effectiveness as you. Over the course of the next month, Watts is going to make reference to people in other organizations trying to steal the move on a few occasions here. Sounds like Watts wanted that maneuver only being used on his TV, huh?
Yeah. Isn't that a bitch? I never received a check for the DDT.
You mentioned before that those shirts that you produced, he wound up taking them over.
Yep.
Well, yeah. He
took that away from us. Picture money took that away.
Well, we're taking it back over on our Box of Gimmick shop right now, Jake. We've got that original Cruel But Fair design up right now on Box of Gimmicks. So you're going to be able to make some money on it now again here 38 years later. So, Jake, when you first heard of other wrestlers using the move that you invented, how did you feel about it?
I thought it was great, you know. I just... hate it when they don't do it right.
Mm. Okay.
You know, watch some film, guys. Figure it out. It's not that hard.
So but,
there's only one or two people that do it right.
So, like, on paper, I was putting myself in your shoes when I was doing this research, and I was like, if I had invented a move and then I turn on TV and I see somebody in another organization using it, I would be fucking pissed, because it's like, hey, is this guy going to get credit for my move? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I've known those feelings for a long time.
But you're, like, at peace with it now, where it's like, hey, whatever.
Oh, yeah, man, I'm good. So good. So good.
You are feeling good. Does anybody in particular stand out as the first person you saw steal the move, though?
No, I can't remember.
I know that, you know, Arn Anderson would be one of the first to use it as a finish after you. I want to say Adrian Adonis maybe started using it here and there.
He used the original DDT before I did in the WWF.
Okay, I got you.
He was using it as his finisher. And when I came in, that was one of the deals that, hey, get him off my fucking finisher as mine.
And I don't recall him ever doing it again after 86.
Nope, he was good with it.
Well, speaking of stealing maneuvers, we're going to talk about that here in a second. Dutch Mantel is a name we mentioned on the show a while back, and you said that you felt maybe there was a little professional jealousy on his end. Jake, as it turns out, whenever we talked about him on the show, he actually heard about the statement and responded to it on his podcast, saying that, you know, if you're not the world champion, you should never be satisfied, and that's kind of where he was at. And he did also put you over and say what a great worker you are, so I thought that was really nice of him.
No, it is nice
to touch. He also mentioned a couple of things I'll ask you to address here. First, he says he needs to ask you this, but he thinks that he had your first match in wrestling. Was your first match with Dutch?
No.
Okay, who was it with?
No. Billy Ash.
Billy Ash. All right, there's one from the history books, folks. We'll have to look up Billy Ash. Was that in Mid-South? Because I know you started out there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He also says that he invented the short arm clothesline and you began using it after a match with him, but he had no issue with you using it because you did it so well. Any truth to that?
I don't remember. I don't recall.
I have a feeling that you invented it, because I recall seeing you do that very early on in your career.
Yeah, I did.
So I don't know. Dutch is viewed as a great creative mind in wrestling. He's done a ton of booking in both the States and Puerto Rico over the years. Did you always see Dutch as a guy who had a great mind for the business?
Yeah. Yeah, he had a good mind for the business, man. He can book.
Did he ever wind up booking you at any point?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, Jake, we're on to November, and we start the month with your secret weapon being revealed in a match against El Corsario. Let's have a look at that.
In the blue corner, at 251 pounds from Atlanta, Georgia, the man with a DDT, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Look at that, Bill, as El Corsario, but look at Jake the Snake. Uh-oh. He brought the bag.
Uh-oh. All right. Uh-oh. Jake the Snake. This could be some serious trouble for the forces of Humperdinck. El Corsario, a martial arts expert. However, he has lost his leader as the Midnight Rider and Hacksaw Duggan got rid of Skandar Akbar and his army. And of course, El Corsario, who doesn't speak a word of English, has been at a complete disadvantage without that leadership. He tries three straight chops to the face of Jake the Snake with no effect. Jake the Snake may have just got the weapon needed to counter Lord Humongous and to even things up. You know, I was talking to him the other day and I said, if the man gets up from one of those DDTs, you may have to drop him a couple more times, but you know you got a hold that can put him down. Stick with it. And now Jake the Snake, terrific. Great idea, fight fire with fire. Now that's what I like about professional wrestling. They don't cry to somebody to protect them. They say, just open the door. If this guy can do it, so can I. And I love that. And I think that's the way it ought to be. That's what makes this the most exciting sport in the world today. That's why it has the greatest and most loyal fans, despite what anything says about it, against it, for it, upside down, sideways. They want to see their wrestlers because they enjoy it. And when you have personalities, oh, he went for the DDT, but El Corsario quickly dropped it, slid out of the ring. He knew that if Jake the Snake hooked it up, that the next thing he's going to be looking at was those lights. And when you're looking up those lights, you're getting beat. Listen to this crowd, DDT, DDT, they want it. The crowd is up, another overflow crowd here at the Irish McNeil Boys Club. And remember, coming up next, we got Ric Flair against one half of the Mid-South Tag Titles holders, Al Perez, in what should be a fantastic match. Oh, El Corsario, hey, the people love it. Quickly, Jake the Snake was kind of gloating in the glory of being protected in the face because Humongous has just about made his head hamburger and Corsario attacked another part of the body. But Corsario went for the gold, so to speak, in one move and missed. And Jake knows he's hurt. Harry's hooked it up. Oh, and he just dropped him. He dropped him. And listen to this crowd. They love it.
Crowd's on their feet and El Corsario's on his back as Jake the Snake once again gains a victory with his tremendous hold that no one can apply like he.
All right, Jake.
Oh, go, Jake, go. sign my panties.
Did you ever have to sign? Did you ever have to sign panties or a bra or anything weird like that? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hopefully clean. No comment on that one.
No, I'll leave that alone.
I don't blame you.
When I got through with it.
Jake, you're fighting fire with fire. You revealed a hockey mask of your own, and you even the odds with Humongous. Looking back, what did you think of that creative, man?
I thought it was weak. See, I went to Bill and asked him that the secret be being a snake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he told me real quick that, how do you say it? God damn, Jake, this ain't no fucking circus we're running here.
For God's sake.
What the fuck are you thinking? Just thought it was really cool. You know?
And I mean, like, here in the inside of a year, you're doing that on the
doing
the
exact thing.
And it's getting over huge.
Yeah, I've often wondered what he fucking thought whenever he fucking seen me out there doing that shit, man.
He had to have been miserable.
He had to have lost his fucking mind.
Like, because you were over, and so was Damien. Like, they had toys of Damien.
I could have been in a secret JYD.
He fucked it all up. I also like that he's like, hey, man, it's not a fucking zoo. Here, put on this hockey mask. It's like, what?
Yeah, really? Yeah, no shit. No shit. My point being.
Ugh, ridiculous. And by the way, in an earlier promo, as I was watching back some of this stuff, you were in the ring with Humperdinck, and you would kind of tease to him first about how you'd have a secret weapon. And you had a bag with you, and you implied that there was a snake in there. And Humperdinck even said, he's got a snake in there or something. He was like, you got to keep him away from that bag. So it's like, clearly it had been mentioned at some point.
Yeah.
And then they just moved away from it.
Which that sounds like what Humperdinck would do. He'd feed into it.
Yeah, he probably heard about that whole thing. And Well, it's kind of a fun idea, I guess. You know, the whole like, hey, if it's good for him, if he can wear it on the ring, I'll wear it too. But man, a snake would have been way cooler. Part of the feud with Humongous was that he was continuously busting you open. So this whole thing kind of made sense on that level too. And Jake, watching back the film, I'm seeing where you always have a Band-Aid in the same exact spot on your head. Is that just a wound that wouldn't close, or what was that?
No. It's just an area that always seemed to get attacked.
Okay.
That's my one weak spot.
I was like, is that the spot where Jake gigs? Because normally you do it up by the hairline, right?
No, that's where I go for it.
Wow. Okay. Just a, like middle of the forehead.
Yeah, right here.
That's got to hurt like hell, dude.
No.
No?
No.
Well, it's just funny because anytime I see a picture of you from back in those days, you've always got a bandage right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my sweet spot.
El Corsario will go on to be known in the WWF as Savio Vega, and very well respected for his work even to this day. And actually, believe it or not, Jake, 38 years later, he's still involved in wrestling. He was at Backlash with Bad Bunny not too long ago, and he gets in the ring sometimes with MLW. Jake, what did you think of El Corsario and Savio as a dude?
Oh, I thought Savio was a great guy, man. He's a good guy. I didn't get a whole lot of time around him, but what time I was around him, he's pretty tight with Taker. And if you're tight with Taker, you're tight with me.
If Undertaker likes you, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
I got to say, too, even looking back there, you know, seeing him kind of like snap into those lockups with you and stuff, it's like, all right, this dude is small, but he can fucking go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both he and Dutch were selling fear of the DDT during the matches, kind of slipping out of your grip and like they were dodging a bullet there at the last second. How important was your success as a babyface, you know, when it came to people treating the DDT with that kind of respect?
Oh, it's fucking enormous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fucking enormous. I've got a hole that evens fucking Matt, you know?
Yep.
It actually puts me ahead. Walking into the ring, I'm already ahead of you. It's the way all finishing maneuvers should be feared. You know?
Yes.
If it's not the DDT, then it's the figure four. Fuck it, man. Show some fear against it. You know, at least look like you're trying to keep away from it.
And that is why the thing with you and Humongous kind of really worked well, because like, you know, he's wearing this mask and your move that can drop any man all of a sudden is not able to drop everybody. So it was a pretty fun angle. We spoke before about how the DDT turned you babyface because fans are cheering when you'd hit it. Jake, do you think it's possible for a heel to have a hot finisher, or is it just impossible?
It's pretty impossible, man. If you're a heel and you got a hot finisher, brother, you're a fucking babyface. Don't kid yourself.
Incredible that all it can take for some guy to kind of make a name for himself is like, man, just come up with a hot move and all of a sudden you can start climbing the ladder
real quick.
Well, as we approach the end of the month, you've got a number of really big matches happening. First, on November 24th, you're going to challenge none other than the Nature Boy himself, the NWA World Champion Ric Flair, for his title. We won't be talking about it here because as soon as we finish recording this, we're going to be recording a bonus episode that will be available exclusively on adfreeshows.com, and we're going to be watching back that match and talking about it there. So if you guys aren't signed up for Ad Free Shows, there's never been a better time. You don't want to miss that topic. I've got the artwork here up for our YouTube folks. I mean, just looking at that, that's some Rocky and Apollo shit, dude. I'm pumped up to watch this match.
Here's my fucking Band-Aid.
The Band-Aid is present in that artwork. Go out of your way to check out our YouTube and take a look at that. Our next clip is another notable match, as you're going to be taking on a guy who is a young performer, but he's got one hell of a future in wrestling. It's on November 28th, 1985. Let's have a look.
Minutes against Jake the Snake and Rob Ricksteiner, and you can find out in a hurry just how hard it is. Jake the Snake trying to clap the forearms over the ears. Well, this is a very effective maneuver for Rick Steiner with a low center of gravity and tremendous upper body strength that he possesses. He's really got the bear hug locked in, a very simplistic maneuver, but at the same time, a very physical one. He's got those big arms right under the rib cage.
Well, we're seeing the basics in action here for certain. But Jake's not the kind of wrestler that keeps his distance from a man unless he's using it tactically. He'll tie up with you and use that leverage that we've talked about.
Well, Rick Steiner was talking to the crowd when he should have been watching his opponent, and Jake Roberts once again used the ropes with a thunderous knee lift.
The fans are already on their feet, calling for the DDT. They could sense it, but at that point, it just wasn't right. Jake the Snake did not have Rick Steiner where he wanted him. And to be frank with you, he's really going to have to put a lot of punishment to this man in order to get him set up for that DDT. Because I'm sure as an amateur, Rick Steiner has had a lot of experience with front face locks, which is what sets up the DDT. And Jake caught the ropes, manages to get that foot up in the air, kicked him with that big boot. Jake goes behind. He slips around, yes!
DDT par excellence right there. Nobody gets up from that one. Jake Roberts had to reach way down.
That DDT looked like it fucking killed him, dude.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You can tell that Rick Steiner's a little bit green here. He's just like a little bit stiff, and like when he took that DDT, he like scorpioned himself, where like his back legs
was nice.
Like, yeah, it came up to his back. It's like, oh fuck. Oh, yeah. Nasty looking. So yeah, a very muscular young Rick Steiner here. What did you think watching it back, brother?
what a great feeling to know that I wrestled him at that age. Hopefully I was able to give him something to think about in the ring. I'd like to think that he learned something in the match. I'm sure he did.
I would say so, man. Because, you know, obviously he would go on to have a great career. And I mean, you were generous with him. Even during that short clip, you know, you were kind of giving him a lot for an enhancement guy.
Absolutely.
Early impressions of Rick. I mean, impressive physique. Did you see him like, okay, this is going to be one of the guys?
I didn't see where he'd wind up.
Okay.
I didn't see it. But I knew that he was going to be there somewhere.
You knew that he certainly had the tools. I mean, you can look at the guy and know it right away.
He was a future star.
Did you feel like his amateur background helped him to pick things up the way that he did?
Sure, he used that to his advantage.
Jake, let's settle this one real quick. More than Steiner brother, Rick or Scott?
I don't care.
that's both, a smart answer.
They both went my ass.
That's a smart answer. You got to be around these guys at some point in the future, and they might hear this shit. Later in his career, Steiner's going to develop a reputation for being, at times, abusive with enhancement talents, just beating the absolute dog shit out of people once he gets them in the ring. At this time, he's the enhancement talent, and like I said, you're being pretty generous with him. What is your approach when you're dealing with a younger talent? Have you ever been overly physical with an enhancement guy?
No, I never have, man. I hope that I never do.
Yeah.
You know, shame on you. You know, these guys are trying to make a living too, and they go out there and they do their damn best. And no reason to take a Sunday shot at somebody that's going to be there for you anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. That's chicken shit. That's all I know.
I always thought it was kind of bullshit, too. These guys are just coming in here for very low amounts of money and just getting the absolute shit beat out of them by some of these guys.
No excuse for it.
Even so, I've heard where I think it was actually Kevin Sullivan was saying, like, hey, like sometimes if a dude is just green and he's not cooperating with you in the ring, like I'll give him some nasty shit to wake him up.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, but that's
give him a shot that lets him know it can be real and you could die. You know,
you could die.
You want the fear of God, that motherfucker, man. Jesus Christ.
There's a great clip of Kevin Sullivan out there double stomping a job guy in the chest because the dude wasn't cooperating with him. And holy shit, it is nasty. Well, we're going to wrap up the month the following day in a steel cage match between yourself and Lord Humongous in the Sam Houston Coliseum in front of a red hot crowd. Before we check out the clip, I want to ask Jake, there really wasn't much interaction between you and Humongous leading up to this big match. The angle's mostly centered around you and your new plan with the hockey mask. The lack of interaction is not something we see very often in wrestling today. Normally guys are like, you know, coming at each other in some way or another. Do you feel that this was a missed opportunity or the correct approach for that territory?
I think for the territory it worked at the time.
Okay.
Know? It was what was needed. They wanted something hot quick.
Gotcha.
And Lord Humongous was pretty green.
Yes.
Okay. He was pretty green. Willing, but green.
You can see it with the guy. Like, he's huge and, you know, it certainly has the right look and everything for wrestling. But watching back some of this film, I'm like, okay, Jake has got his work cut out for him with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like pushing a wheelbarrow. Maybe it was with one wheel off.
Well, as we can hear from the audience in our final clip, whatever you guys are doing was working, you know, even with kind of like a limited interaction on the way there, because this crowd is just in a frenzy. There's no commentary, so I'm going to narrate the action. Let's go ahead and drop in on the final minutes of it. Okay, Jake is going for his DDT here. Nails it. On paper, this should just be the end of the match as soon as we began it here. Covers Humongous, and Humongous kicks out strong and does like the Michael Myers sit up in the ring. Uh-oh. Jake is tangling the ropes, and he's taking some headbutts right on that that weakened spot where he always needs his Band-Aid.
Soft spot. Oh, fuck. It's too late for Band-Aids.
You need super glue after this shit.
We need something, brother. I got a dimple going.
Yeah, you are bleeding an absolute gusher in this match. And we've got...
If you're going to do it right.
I'll tell you what, you're nailing it here. Was it typically a shot of whiskey before you went out there if you knew you were bleeding?
No.
No?
No.
I always heard that guys like to kind of thin their blood.
Yeah, that's because they like whiskey.
Shot to the gut. He drops a chair. And Jake drops him and his mask with a DDT right on the chair. There's a three count. Well, Jake is stumbling, but he's victorious. Oh, there's a chair shot for the Nightmare. Get the fuck out of here, bud. And then Jake bails. Probably a smart move.
Okay, he's getting killed in there. Motherfucker's cutting me with a razor blade. What the fuck?
Jake, probably one of the most iconic matches of your feud with Humongous, this cage match. I've seen that footage an awful lot. I mean, watching it back, is it a good memory or tough memory?
A sweet memory.
Yeah.
A sweet memory, man. You know, him and I have had the opportunity here in the last couple of years to get together a couple of times and go fishing, you know, and I had a real good time.
You and Humongous?
Yeah, yeah, man. We went out. Well, we went a couple of places, man. We went up to Minnesota and did it up there 1 year. And then the next time we went down to Texas and did some striper fishing. I'm kind of hung up on that striper fishing. I love that stuff. I love that stuff, man.
What is this? So I'm not a fisher. What is striper? Is that just a type of fish?
It's a striper bass. It's a bass. Okay. The bass family, but they get extremely large.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Got to feel good pulling one of those big bastards out.
Well, the biggest are like 40 to 50, I think.
So, holy shit.
But you catch a 20-pounder, brother. You caught something.
With those bastards like wriggling around trying to get free,
God,
too.
Brother.
Fuck you up have your no
idea
back.
how much fucking fun it is.
Damn. All right. I got to go fishing, dude.
Yeah. I'll have to get you to go with me, man.
Hell yeah. I'm in. Well, look, Jake, we're approaching the end. I just got a couple more questions here. Yeah. Not a lot of people look big compared to you. You're a big dude, but holy shit, Jeff Van Camp is just a monster.
Oh, he is, man.
Do you like being the smaller guy in the match and doing a lot of the bumping around, or do you prefer being the big man?
Sure.
You're good with the bumping?
I can control the match with that.
I gotcha.
You know?
I hope our listeners heard what you just said. It's, you know, on paper, it's the guy who's bumping you is in control, but really the guy who's bumping is controlling all of the action.
That's it, man.
It's
ain't nothing happens till I make it happen, motherfucker.
This is the kind of wisdom you get here on the Snake Pit. Jake, this match takes place on Thanksgiving Day in 1985. Arn Anderson on his show has mentioned that these are some of the most important days of the year. We're often the biggest shows. Can you speak on the significance of these holiday shows?
Oh yeah, they're all they're blown out. You know, Bill throws them a bone, makes it special. They were always good houses, man. You know, probably double the size of your normal crowd.
Folks finished dinner, and you know, back in those days, I don't think there were a million football games on. I think it was probably only one game, so they were looking for some shit to do after dinner.
Something to do, man. Get out of the house.
And this was it, brother. And this is it for our episode this week. God knows there's plenty to discuss when it comes to you and Humongous, and we'll cover it all as we continue the story of your time in Mid-South. Next week, we are on to something that I know is probably not your fondest memory, but it's certainly something that fans look forward to. It's Halloween Havoc 1992. You're going to spin the wheel and make the deal with Sting. We're going to watch back those vignettes. We're going to check out that shitty coal miner's glove match. We'll make fun of it, Jake. We'll make it a good time. And guys, want to remind you, if you're looking to attract that 25 to 54 year old male demographic to your product or service, why haven't you gone to advertisewithsnake.com? Jake is a household name to this day. He's still with AEW. He's still out making the towns. He's still out signing autographs, shaking hands, and you can get him to put over your product or service to the exact audience that you're targeting. If you need some evidence that it works, just listen to our show. We routinely advertise for the same businesses because they know that what we do works. Head to advertisewithsnake.com and team up with the Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts today. JakeTheSnakeShop.com is your destination for rare signed collectibles straight from the man himself. Autographed figures, shirts, 8x10s, and much more. You guys have got to check out the custom sculptures of Jake made by Sin Bodhi. They're available now. They're all signed by the Hall of Famer himself. He's got that awesome Greek-style statue. He's got these really cool like busts heads that you can put on your desk. They're just such cool pieces to your collection. And like I said, Jake is signing every single one of them. So, I mean, you want to talk about a cool, rare signed collectible? That's the one. Again, it's JakeTheSnakeShop.com. Add a new centerpiece to that wrestling collection of yours. Get over to Cameo.com/JakeSnake for a personal message from the Hall of Famer himself. Here's a recent review that Jake got from Eric. I could not have asked for a better cameo. Jake was awesome, and it was super funny and entertaining. Love you, Jake. Guys, if you're a lifelong fan of Jake the Snake Roberts, you've got to get a cameo from him. Again, it's cameo.com/JakeSnake. Nobody puts in more effort or time or thought into these cameos than Jake does. It's honestly a great experience. Go and order yours right now. Fall has brought that cold weather, but you can greet it with style at the Snake Pit page on boxofgimmicks.com. Awesome hoodies, sweatshirts, long sleeve shirts, hats will keep you looking fashionable this fall. And if you're a fan of 80s and 90s wrestling, you're going to love the style. You know, I mentioned that we've got the new Cruel But Fair shirt over there at boxofgimmicks.com. Well, we also added a hoodie and a baseball shirt. So you got the long sleeves with the baseball shirt. Hoodie, of course, is going to keep you warm, and it's all in that awesome Mid-South 1985 style that Jake made so popular. Again, it's the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com. Get over there and check it out. I think you're going to find something you'll like. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/@snakepitpod for short clips from our show, highlights, and some exclusive content. We also recently did a giveaway for subscribers there. We're going to keep doing them. We're talking about signed action figures. We're talking about signed cards. And all you have to do to be eligible is get over there right now. Like, subscribe, hit that notifications bell, and you're in. Not just for the next giveaway that we do, but for every future giveaway that we do over there, you will be eligible. Again, get over to youtube.com/@snakepitpod. Subscribe today. Also, if you've enjoyed our podcast, please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on all platforms. That helps Jake and I out a whole bunch. And just a reminder, you can get the Snake Pit and all of our other shows in our network early and ad-free over at adfreeshows.com. It starts at just $9 a month. That's less than 15 cents an episode each month. I mean, you want to talk about getting some value? That's it. Plus, the higher tier you go, the more stuff you get. We've mentioned it here on the show before. I'm going to mention it again. I do the Hacksaw Hour with Hacksaw Jim Duggan himself over there. We do 2 episodes per month. One is a mailbag series where we'll take listener questions, and the other is we'll focus in on a particular topic, just like we did with Jake here, Mid-South, October and November of 1985. I did Fall Brawl 1994 with Jim, where we talked about him and Steve Austin. We did Team Canada, where we talked about Jim turning his back on America while he was with WCW. And there's plenty more to go. So seriously, if you guys like what I'm doing here, you're going to love being a member at adfreeshows.com. Go and check it out right now. Catch Jake on X at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. Follow me at MarcusPDAngelo on X, and you can follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. Guys, this was an absolute blast looking back at Mid-South 1985 with Jake again, and we are going to continue taking looks back next week again. It's Halloween Havoc 1992, and it's sure to be a hell of an episode. So see us next week right here on The Snake Pit.